Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to make our way through the first chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's a chapter sometimes I feel like we should take up every month. It's so fantastic. It's an apostolic mind, and now we're going to step into the second part of the first chapter, which is Paul's apostolic prayer. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, we've been kind of unfolding. We began Monday with the celebration of the body and blood of Jesus, kind of reflecting on Sunday's solemnity and the centrality of the Eucharist and what Jesus has offered to us there. But then we've been looking at St. Paul. And why are we doing this? Monday was a reminder of what we've been given, the strength that the Lord wants to give us. He wants to feed us. He wants to be near to us. He wants to shape our mind and our understanding. He wants to give us clarity about what we're living through, the spiritual conflict that's present in our lives, internally, the personal stuff, and the conflicts of a culture and a society that's divided and broken and seems to be unraveling, not just ours, but around the world. It's a great trial, and so much is being exposed. We need to know as the people of God, as the nations are shaken, that He doesn't want us to be shaken. He wants us to stand on the rock of His truth and His gospel. And so feeding on Him, feeding on His body, hungering again for the Eucharist, and as hopefully things open up more and more and more, again, we can return regularly to the reception of the Eucharist, which is such an important reality for us as the body of Christ. And then Tuesday, Wednesday took up Paul's vision of God's grand plan for us. If we not only feed on the body of the Lord, but we feed on His Word, we feed on His Spirit-inspired teaching that's coming, in this case, through St. Paul, we'll be fortified, we'll be strengthened. Because the battle, friends, is mostly in the mind. In times like this, when it looks dark and it's difficult and there's disappointments and struggles that we face, it's easy to lose sight of where we're going. It's easy to fall prey to the temptations of the devil, to say that you're alone, you're abandoned, life's not going to go well for you, God is far away, everybody seems far away, you can feel hopeless and discouraged. Even His goal, obviously, is to lead us to despair and to give up, say, forget it. I'm giving up. I'm giving in. I mean, I'm angry at God because of how difficult things are right now, which is a normal human response. But what the devil wants you to do is he wants you to stay there. He wants you to camp out there. He wants that to be your truth, so to speak. He wants you to begin to conform yourself to it and to act out of it. Because he wants you to get, he wants the spiral, downward spiral, to go deeper and deeper all the time. He wants you to surrender. He wants you to surrender to that discouragement and that despair because he wants to destroy you. He doesn't want you to see light. He doesn't want you to have hope. He doesn't want you ultimately to reach, as we said yesterday, Paul said so beautifully, that the Lord, when we hoped in Christ, He destined and appointed us to live for the praise of His glory. So like the saints, no matter whether we are based or we abound, we can learn, Paul says, the secret of contentment. In Him who's the source of my strength, I have strength for everything. I have the strength to fulfill my purpose and destiny. The circumstances don't determine it. The Spirit of God determines it in me. The inheritance and the down payment that St. Paul spoke to us about, that we talked about yesterday. Our enemy wants us to think that the circumstances determine the possibility of our response. The circumstances will determine whether or not we can be happy, whether or not we can thrive. That's a lie, and I think sometimes the Lord permits us to go through great trials so that we learn to lean on Him and we come to see the treasure that we've actually been given and to be able to live from it and to be strengthened by it. So Paul then, after laying out what God's done for us, he has this beautiful apostolic prayer that's really worth praying again and again, because he's praying that we would go deeper into the knowledge of Christ. And the deeper we go, the stronger we get. The deeper we go, the more freedom we come into. The deeper we go, the stronger we are in terms of our capacity to lift others, to bring hope in the midst of suffering and difficulty and darkness, to be Christ, to bear the Christ life. So here's Paul in verse 15, chapter 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, it's your brothers and sisters, I do not cease to give thanks for you. What a good shepherd. He's thinking about us. You know, he's thinking about those he's caring for. He's praying for them. And then he begins to describe for them as he's giving thanks for them, remembering them in his prayers. He begins to tell them about what he's praying for in their regard. Verse 17. He says he's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may do something for us. He's praying that God would act and God would give us something. He said that he may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Wisdom. That's, you know, the God-given insight, awareness, understanding. It's even deeper than that. The capacity to grasp revelation, God, the revelation of God, God's revealing of himself, God's revealing of his son, God's revelation of his purpose, that he's saying, I pray that he would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, that you would have wisdom as the revelation of God unfolds more and more for you. He's just saying, really, essentially, the Holy Spirit gives us the gift of wisdom. He's saying, essentially praying that the Father would grant and the Holy Spirit give us a gift to be able to grasp God more fully through a revelation that can only come through the Holy Spirit. I mean, just think of an example from the Gospels when Jesus said, you know, who do you say that I am? And then the famous moment when Peter, you know, bursts out and says, you know, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And what does Jesus do? He smiles. He says, ah, Peter, you've been blessed. You've been blessed. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. That's not your own math that you're coming to the conclusion on. But my heavenly Father has revealed this to you. So Paul knows the revelation that he's received. He knows how much that revelation absolutely transformed his life, how it renewed his thinking about himself, about the world, about reality, about Judaism, about everything, God's plan and purpose, and the strength he's able to draw from it for his daily life. That's why he's praying for the brothers and sisters, that they come into it. So that's verse 17. May he give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, an experiential knowledge, a transformational knowledge. Verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. You know, the way of seeing from the heart, the way of love and the seed of decision in us, that we could see the love of God, that we could love God radically and totally in return, and we could value, we could see the real treasure that we're given in God, and we can value it from the core of our being. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. We're back to the theme of hope that Paul touched on earlier in this chapter. He knows the power that hope has produced in his life. I think Pope Benedict said at one point in his encyclical on hope, the one who hopes lives differently. The one who hopes, and he points out, the one who hopes lives in freedom. I know in who it is whom I believe. I know him. And I know he's faithful. I know he's true. I know he's merciful. I know he's good. He knows me. He made me. He loves me. He's with me. And he is so powerful. So powerful. Nobody can resist his power. And Paul's saying, essentially, you know, he's praying, Father, give them the hope that you've shown me. Give them the hope that you've revealed in me. The hope to which he has called you. He's called you to what? To be a new creation, to be a son or daughter of God, to be a saint, to be a martyr, to be an instrument of salvation in the world, to love God, love neighbor with all your heart, and he's called you to a hope to share ultimately in the glory of his son, to come into your inheritance in heaven as a child of God. He goes on, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? Part of the hope that we, part of what hope shows us, faith and hope together, we're able to see what the saints, those who've died in Christ, who've gone before us, and not only what they received in this life, which is really mind-boggling when you read the lives of the saints and see just how far they came in the journey toward holiness and Christ-likeness and the amazing ways God worked in and through them and the intimate, beautiful way that he revealed himself to them. And they gladly, as time went on, gave up everything. They didn't want anything else in this world. They were living from him because nothing in this world compares to the amazing beauty of who God is. And this inheritance of the saints, of what they've given to us in dying, as some as martyrs and witnesses, and what they've inherited in heaven, this is our destiny too, Paul is saying. And he goes on, verse 19, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe? This is I'd like to just end the program today by reflecting on that line a little bit together. The immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe. Is that the way you describe your life or describe your parish or describe your diocese and the mindset that we have today? Friends, we're in a great spiritual battle. It's big. It's dark. It's real. We don't have to be afraid of it. We just have to be awake to it and sobered. One of the things the enemy wants to do, as I said earlier in the program yesterday, the battle's in the mind. He does not want you to lay hold of, you notice what Paul is saying? Lord, give them wisdom. Give them revelation. Turn the light on inside them. Enlighten them. Help them see. Because if they can see things as they really are, who you are, who they are in you, a power will go forth from them. The power to resist the darkness. The power to be a light in the world. The power to overcome the strategies of the devil. To break the back of the enemy. The power to lead your life. To lead your marriage. To lead your family. To lead your parish. To lead your city. To be people who are confident because they know there's a power at work in him. Them, not fleshly power, not me just willing it and summoning, you know, getting a pep talk and summoning my own willpower. It's weak, broken people walking in humility and knowing greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and that his power is made perfect in weakness. Here we are right now, friends, in a moment of great weakness. Are we going to give up and give in? Or are we going to lean in to the Lord and declare and know in faith that his power will be made perfect in our weakness in this moment? May it be so. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.